Hello and welcome back to First Year Jitters, the show to ease your first year shivers. I am your host, Omar Kabej. Our next guest is currently doing her second year of Bachelor of Education here at Laurier and already completed her undergrad at U of T in French Education. So in total, this is her seventh year of university. So it is my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode, Sofia Silva Fonseca. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me, Omar.
All right. So let's get started here with the questions. So, I believe that you did your first university go-around at U of T, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so, first thing we kind of want to know is the first day experience. And actually, since you've been to two universities, would you mind kind of sort of comparing that first day at U of T, like your first day, to your first day at Laurier?
Sure. They were very different experiences, but both quite valuable in their own way. My first time at U of T, you know, it's a very big institution. I was in the St. George campus, and I just remember coming out of, I was a commuter, so I came out of St. George Station, and it is a massive place, and finding all my classrooms, you have to be there like an hour early just to make sure you know exactly where you're going if you haven't done so already. And then just, like, there's a lot of anxiety about finding your place and finding out how well you're going to do throughout the year. And it's such a big school that it feels a little bit isolating, I would say. after I went home, I think I felt really good because it was my first time being having my own schedule. My professors in my first year were really, really kind. So, I just remember it going by really fast, to be honest. That was my first year at U of T. And then my first year at Laurier was very different. So my experience at U of T was very different than my experience has been here. U of T is has a very different environment. It's a very much more study focused. You really have to go out of your way to be social and find friends and a community. Whereas here at Laurier, on my first day, right after my first class, I had made my five friends that up to today, we're still all super close. So a very different day. I had so much fun on my first day here, just talking to people, and it really felt like Laurier welcomed me, you know. So that was my first day, yeah.
All right, well, that's great to hear, and it's actually really cool to get that comparison between two universities. And we're kind of on the topic here. So you said that, like, in your first day of Laurier, you met, like, the five people that are, like, really close with you now. Any tips for first years, you know, to meet people in the future? What kind of advice would you give on that?
Yeah, for sure. Don't be shy to be the first one to reach out. That's a big one. Maybe that's one thing that I could have done at U of T. I was very quiet and not sure who I could or couldn't speak to. I didn't know how exactly to approach people because it was so big and the classrooms were massive. But here, I just went up to some people and, you know, pay them a compliment. Be like, hey, I love your sweater. I mean, be honest, like, find something you really like about them and just compliment them and just... make it your own purpose to find someone. People aren't gonna, I know sometimes we wish that we'll just stand there and people will kind of come to us and be our friends, but having a social life in university is very much underrated, I find. So do make it a goal of yours to meet some people, network, make friends. So the tip is just, like, make it your own purpose. Like, don't wait for other people to find you. You go out there and find people yourself.
I think that's great advice, Sofia. For example, me. I met some really great people, like, my first couple days that I still talk to today. But, you know, I'm always trying, like, to reach out, you know, talk to new people as much as I can every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important to again, don't be afraid, like, to speak up if you're, like, because I get it. It can be, like, a very nerve-wracking thing.
Definitely.
Oh, believe me. but it feels good, you know.
It does.
So the next thing I want to ask, and this is kind of more centered around like your U of T experience.
Sure.
Want to know what kind of residence you lived in, if there's any parallels between that and maybe the residences people could experience at Laurier, and just kind of want to know more about that.
For sure. So I have lived. I'm gonna say they have been three types of residences. So the first one at U of T, I was with my parents the whole time. That is rewarding in its own way, you know. Sometimes you need people to talk to, and if it's your first time at university, it's not always people that will be your friends. Because, you know, at the beginning you might not have any, or you might not have people that are that close to you. So having your parents is wonderful. At least in my first year, that was my experience, and I... if I had to do it all over again, I would definitely live with my parents and my siblings. My first year here, I lived off campus. There's a lot of questions about residence going on right now because people are trying to find places to move to, and that can be quite a daunting task. And one advice I could give is don't focus too much on finding a place close by. I think some of the best places you will find are a little bit further. I'm not saying go like an hour away, but I lived about 20 minutes away from campus in this big home. I had some great roommates. That will, of course, not always be the case, but it's important to, I think one thing I learned from my experience living with roommates is just be very open and communicative, and just, you don't, like, don't do things passively. Don't make passive comments. Just go straight up. Be like, hey, this is the situation we're having. I'm not comfortable with this. Let's talk about how we can change it. You just have to be really open with your roommates, because if you don't cut that right from the beginning, if you don't address it, it'll build up, and then you'll end up in a situation where, you know, you might lose it if you don't address it very early on, any kind of concerns. But yeah, that was my experience off-campus residence. And this year, I am the residence education advisor at Waterloo College Hall. And it has been a very, very educational experience for myself as well. Lots of growth opportunities. It is so interesting to have such a close community. My dons have been wonderful people whom I have shared lots of moments with, and they're a huge support system. And I've met a lot of students like yourself and many other students who just like brighten up my day every time I see them. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, for sure. You know, everything will have its pros and cons, but right now, like, I'm really trying to focus on the positive things about it, because it's a really, really good experience if altogether.
I see. Now, this question might be a little interesting, considering you didn't get, like, the residence first-year experience. Mm-hmm. But to any first-years that might be listening to this in the not-too-distant future,
sure.
What kind of advice would you give to those who might be living in a residence like Waterloo College Hall or any other of these great residences in Laurier for their first year?
Yes, I like this question. I have lots of things to say about this. So, one thing is, definitely make friends in your community. I really appreciate seeing people who came in not really knowing anyone, and then suddenly they have these groups of people that they're having fun with, you know, that they're connecting with. It's so different than living off campus. So make connections, make friends. Like, living close to your friends is like the coolest thing ever. So do make connections and make friends. As a residence education, as a, like, staff in the building, I would recommend that you, you know, I think be aware that the staff in your residence is just trying to help you. They're students like yourself. They're just trying to support you. So say hi to them, you know, give them a smile every now and then. Sometimes I know we're all wrapped up in our own things, so, you know, everyone's got their things going on, but, you know, a smile, a hello, can go a long way. And of course, take care of your community. You know, you're going to be living there for a while. You don't want to, like, imagine it's your home and you're living with other people, and you want to work together to build like a positive space for everyone.
I think that's really good advice. And kind of going on into your experience, how did you adjust, like, going from that idea of, oh, I'm in high school, I'm in, like, this education area, to now, oh, I'm in university. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you adjust from, like, that transition?
Right. Everyone will have their own experiences. In high school, I was in the IB program. I know some people will be familiar with it. It's just a very intense kind of academic program. I thought it would be just as intensive in university, but to my surprise, I mean, university is not, I'm not saying it's easy, because it can be quite tough, but it was a happy surprise to find out it wasn't as challenging as high school. This is my own experience, of course. I'm sure other people have different experiences, but that was one thing. I was glad to have more independence, but with more independence comes so much more responsibility. I think one thing that I learned out of, you know, university in my first, in my first round at U of T was really taking ownership of your time, of your actions, and of your emotions. I think it's really important to, there's a word I'm looking for. I can't remember what it is, but it's important to just be aware of how things are going. And if they're not going the way you expect them, you have probably tried to fix things a few times. So that's something that students get into. Like if they're having trouble procrastinating, they'll try things that they've tried in the past. And that doesn't often help because you have already tried it. So I think one thing that was tough for me was reaching out for support, because I did, that was not always an option in high school. And I didn't actually know how many supports the university had until I got to like third, fourth year. So I think that was tough because I felt quite, honestly, I felt very alone in my first few years. I had my family, which was great. I'm very grateful for that because otherwise it would have been quite tough. And I am fully aware a lot of students are going through that right now. So definitely be aware that there are so many supports on campus. And hopefully if you can find a way to connect with them as soon as possible, you'll have, you know, less of that feeling of aloneness and not knowing how to move forward and, you know, help yourself with your studies and your sleep schedule and things like that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That whole idea of reflection is very important as going through because, again, I just maybe want to say this to other first years. I think checking in is very important. Mm-hmm. It could be something as simple as, you know, laying down on your bed and thinking about how did my day go today? What did I accomplish? And like, of course, it's important to look at things that you can improve on. Mm. But I think something else that's important to talk about is don't be afraid to look at the positives of your day.
Yeah.
Like, if you had some really cool highlights of your day, like, celebrate those, you know? Because, like, it shouldn't always just be looking at, like, oh, I could improve on this or that. Like, no, I did this part really, really well, and I'm proud that I accomplished so-and-so today. So, and that's very important. Now, something that I know a lot of first years, including myself, have been wondering is time management skills, especially with the exam block that we're getting into next week. Yeah. So I was wondering if you had any tips for time management for first years.
For sure. I'm going to tie this back to what I said earlier. If you feel like you've been having serious troubles with time management, don't keep doing what you've been doing. Don't try to fix it the way you've tried to fix it before. It might not, you know, work since it hasn't been working up to now. So, you know, reach out to your student success center. They have people who actually help you plan out your schedule, talk to you about different techniques. I, for the first time ever this year, I learned about the Power Hour, which is super helpful. Basically, it's broken up into little time sections. The first bit is for planning a reasonable, achievable goal, which sometimes people don't know what that means. Because I used to go into it saying, I'm going to do, like, 10 things, and they're, like, very long within this amount of time. And I think we have to be reasonable with ourselves about what we can do given a specific amount of time. So the Power Hour really helps with that. So the first bit is, like, planning what you're going to do. Then you do, like, a good 30 minutes of work, undistracted work. So that means, you know, no electronics, no books, no anything in your way that could possibly distract you. And then you do like a little break and then some time to look back at your work. Don't quote me exactly on the times because I forget exactly how it's broken up. But yeah, just find new ways to learn about your time management. Don't fall into the trap of, what is it? there's a word for it, but it's when you go to sleep, you know, quote unquote sleep, and then because you had so much time during the day that you felt you didn't do much, then you use that time during the night to feel productive by going, like, just scrolling through your phone. Try not to do that. One big thing that I learned this year as well is how precious your sleep is. So I would say that. And to the students hopefully listening, can I plug in my hour of studying here?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay. Yeah, just you know, if you're on residence, just get together with a group. So at Waterloo College Hall, we'll be doing some study time together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But if you're not there, then get together with a group of friends. I think it encourages you to work better when you're with other people and you agree, you know, to have your little breaks every now and then, but not talk through the whole thing. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
No, yeah, totally agree. Looking back at what I did, I should probably be working more on that.
Fair enough.
It's going. I personally still have a lot to learn about time management, believe me.
Yeah, there's always something to learn. You never stop learning. That's what I know. As an educator, you never stop learning. So.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of want to touch on that. For those who don't know, Sophia currently is in her second year of Bachelor of Education here at Laurier, and I believe you want to become a junior intermediate French teacher, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So we kind of want to go into, why did you choose like that path in Laurier? What led to that decision?
Yeah, for sure. I, like many others, had no idea what I was going to do going into university, and that's totally okay. But as I was doing my time, I knew I wanted to learn French, so I was in the French field generally. But I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I noticed that in the past I had had a pattern of like working with students, tutoring them, and being a camp counselor, coordinator, working with content for children, for like community organizations. So I just sat down and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this French career? What can we do? And I happened, this was really interesting, actually. I happened to run into a teacher from high school. And he said to me, he said, hey, what are you up to? So I said, I'm not really sure, but I think I might be a teacher. I wasn't super sure, but that was definitely in there. So he's like, why don't you meet with me and we'll have a talk, an open conversation about what it is to be a teacher. So, you know, I took him up on his offer and I really appreciated that conversation because a lot of people will tell you how great it is to be a teacher. Like they want to bring you in, so they'll tell you all the positives about, and it could be other things, like not just teaching, but they'll tell you about the great things about being a doctor or, you know, a nurse or an engineer. But oftentimes people are not so open about all the challenges that come with it. So he really opened up about the challenges of being a teacher. But once we put it all together, I came to the conclusion that that's exactly what I wanted to do. And yeah, I kind of just embraced it at that moment, and I was prepared for, yeah, what was to come.
All right. I think that's actually a really cool story. And another thing I want to know, and some other students I want to know is, as you want to become a teacher, as you know, some teachers might have, like, these tips and tricks they want to do with their students to kind of help them, like, learn certain concepts. So you mind kind of going into kind of some, like, the ways that you might want to teach your students in the future?
For sure. So I am very much aware that a lot of people have some interesting stories about French teachers. I know it's not always everybody's favorite topic in high school, especially since it feels more forced oftentimes, since it is a requirement. So my approach to teaching, I think, a language in particular, any language you want to learn, is I just want to make it fun for the students. Honestly, like, I'm going to try to find any opportunity to, of course, language is not separate from culture, so any kind of cultural aspects I can bring in, any kind of activities, get people to be active and practice language through actions. Language should not be a stationary practice, you know? Language needs to be performed, so to speak. So any chance I get to bring the language to my students, or if I can take my students out to French environments, I think that will be my approach. I just want to make it a really, really fun class. That's my kind of approach to teaching French. I want them to remember their French class, not as like a, okay, I have to write like 10 lines of this verb. I want them to remember it as, oh my gosh, we baked a baguette. And that's very like general, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, we learned about like this tradition in like Belgium or something. I just want them to learn through the language as well. Not just learn about the language and about the culture, but just learn through the language about the world.
I think that's great. I mean, hey, if you're going to be cooking French food, then you might tell me where I can get in that class? Because I might go to that class.
All right, we'll touch base on that.
I think that would be great. But I think that's really cool. And another thing I want to know is, you may have already heard that Sophia is currently an REA. So you might kind of going into, number one, what do you do in your job? And number two, if students might be considering an REA, kind of let them know what they might be getting into.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh, okay, so my job consists of about three things. So the first one is that we're a resource hub. So students who have questions about, hey, like, where should I go to maybe check on my course load? I want to change it. Or I have questions about accessibility. Or I have a question about clubs I can join. That is something students can definitely come talk to me about. And we work together, essentially, to, get them what they need. As well as during my office hours, I also provide a space for students to talk to me if they need to, if they're having a bad day, if they're having a good day. It's just a space for, you know, me to meet with my community members. Yeah. Additionally, I create programming for the building. So our job is to provide educational programming to talk about, for example, safe substance use, healthy relationships, healthy eating and sleeping, just pretty much anything that students in their first year might need as a foundation to move forward with their lives and move forward in university.
I see. Actually, before we go on to your next point,
sure.
About that substance use thing, because I learned a bit about it. Isn't it true you have like these special like glasses or something that they would put in to like mimic the idea of like intoxication or something like that?
Yeah, we had a really fun activity during our safe substance use where we put a straight line and then people put on these goggles. They're these kind of vision shifting goggles where it makes you feel like you're intoxicated. But it just comes to show like how, because they're very good and people would be so confident. And I think that's one thing that happens when you are not careful with your substance use. You become so confident that you could do something, and then everybody else around you is looking at you like, oh my gosh, you're going to run into that wall in 2 seconds. Yeah.
Sorry. I just wanted to interject on that because sure. I thought that was kind of funny. But anyways, you were talking about, like, the three main points about being an
AI. Yeah, so those were the first two, the ones I mentioned. So, you know, resources, programming for the community, and, yeah, we kind of collect data on, like, how everyone is doing. So we have specific programming, and then we have more targeted programming for our community. So the specific programming, like the safe substances, like the healthy relationships, we work together with all our REAs, with all the residences. But based on what our students need, we try to create more targeted programming based on maybe trends that we see in our communities or things that students need. So that's why I'm creating like a study space during exam time, so that students have that space to work together and learn a new study technique. That's not something that's being done by everyone. That's just something I feel like our community currently needs.
Ah, all right. So those are like the three main qualities of being an REA. Now, students might be considering being an REA here at Laurier. In fact, I believe signups for interviews for Dawn's REAs closed fairly recently. Yeah. So any tips on people who might want to be an REA, kind of what they would be getting into?
Sure. So I think it's important that you have an awareness of your schedule and time. I think it's very manageable. I think that anyone can really do this role as long as you are aware of your time and you plan it out really well. Basically, you have a lot of... It's a great role because you actually get to make so many connections around campus. So you have to be prepared to reach out to, you know, the Student Success Center, to the Writing Center, to the Wellness Center. So through that, I have learned so much. So you got to be prepared to just have like a list of resources that you can refer your students to. As an REA, it is a little bit harder to connect with your community, I would say. I think Dons have the major role in doing that, where they get to talk to students one-on-one. As an REA, you'll see students every now and then, but it is really up to you to connect with your students, because there won't be always those opportunities to do one-on-ones. So that's something I'm actually working on. I do my best, but I think I can do better. I definitely want to get to know my students a little more. What else? It's important to be friendly. As an REA, you really have to be, you know, friendly and be open to listening to students' opinions and situations. Be very empathetic, because there's a lot of stuff going on in first year, adjustments, mental health. There are big changes in students' lives, and it doesn't often hit them at first, and then when it does, you know, you just want to be there to support them in any way you can. So, you know, be ready to open your heart to a lot of new people.
I think that's great advice. And, you know, for any first years out there who might be wanting to go into the REA field, I hope that advice really helps, because I think it was very good advice. So thank you very much for that. One thing I kind of want to know, this is about mainly your Laurier experience. Okay. So getting involved in the community, I think is very important here at Laurier. Yeah. You already mentioned how you're doing your second year bachelor education, how you're an REA. Are there any other ways you've been involved in the Laurier community so far?
I have. I'm very involved this year. I'm very involved this year. And to be honest, I think I was not as involved last year. I think it would have been good to be a little more involved last year, because then I would have been a little bit more prepared to be very involved this year. So, but in any case, other things I'm involved in are the tandem program, the tandem, you know, if people don't know what that is, it's just a program where you meet other people and you help teach them a language and they teach you a language. I'm currently trying to learn Mandarin, so I am helping two students, like, practice their English, and they are teaching me Mandarin. It is a wonderful experience for people who love languages as I do. I definitely recommend it. It will reopen during our winter term, so be on the lookout for that if you're interested. Additionally, one thing I want to point out is get close to your professors, talk to them, you know, get yourself informed about projects that are being led. Currently, I am working with one of my professors from last year to create a French learning program, which is amazing. It's a mentorship program where teachers who are Bachelor of Education students and are also learning to teach French will be mentors to students in their undergrad who are learning French for any, you know, for any purposes, not necessarily just to be a teacher, but just learning French. And we will be, I created a whole programming with my professor in order for students to get to go on like free trips, free cooking classes. Again, exactly what I told you I wanted to do when I'm a teacher. We're just providing free events for people to learn and improve French in the best way they can. So definitely whatever program you're in, get close to your teachers, ask questions, be polite and kind, because you don't know what kind of opportunities might present themselves in the future that you might be able to be part of something greater.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And also really good advice too for anyone who wants to get involved. I've personally gotten involved in a few things over the years, like obviously what I'm doing right now, like house council, things like that. But right. I think, yeah, getting involved is very important. And the thing is, like, there's so many clubs here at Laurier, aren't there? Like,
so many.
Yeah, like anything that you want to do in Laurier, they probably have a club for it. And if not, you can make your own, and it's actually really cool.
Yeah, 100%. I heard there was like a Taylor Swift club somewhere. There's anything you want to do, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah, let the record be known that there might be a Taylor Swift club out there. Okay. So something else we kind of want to know, going on to this, any like funny or humorous like memories that you have from like your time in university so far, yes, that you want to touch on?
Yes, I'm very prepared for this question because if someday this teacher hears this, I doubt it, but I want her to know. Anyway, I'll go into it and you'll understand what I mean. At U of T, again, I love languages, so I joined German my first year. Okay. And I was I was on my way to German class. My teacher was this, like, you know, very, very sweet young just professor. She was, I think it was her first year too as a professor, so that makes it more interesting. But the building I had to go into had these like steps to get to the door, and I was a little bit late. Like I would be on time, but I just had to hurry up. And I was approaching the stairs, and the teacher was actually coming from the opposite direction. And she gives me this really big smile, and she extends her arm. She's like, "Sophia." And then in my brain, I was like, "Oh, she wants a hug." Okay, I'm not gonna say no to a hug from my professor. I don't know how that'll affect my grades. So I just went for it. Because her arms were extended. So I, like, her arm was extended. So I gave her, like, a little hug. And as I pulled back, I see her expression. I'm like, oh, that's not what she was indicating. So it quickly became noticeable that what she was doing was extending her arm to allow me to walk before her, like, walk up the stairs.
Oh.
For me to walk in front of her. And oh my goodness, when I tell you, I could not look that professor in the face for the next like 3 weeks. But I think that's a really funny story.
I mean, yeah. You have any like any also like going into Laurier? You have any like funny Laurier memories that you've had so
funny
far?
Funny Laurier memories. Funny Laurier memories. Let me see. There's been a lot of great things that have happened. Okay, well, going back to what we were talking about those vision glasses, everyone was trying, because there is ones that are darker and ones that are very light, and I put on the dark colored ones, and I'm like, oh, I understand why people can't see, it's so dark. And then I saw the white, like, the light-colored ones, and I was like, oh, this can't be that hard. I kept saying, like, I'm not going to put those on because I know well. Again, the confidence is ridiculous. So then I'm like, you know what? Whatever. Like, I don't understand why people are messing this up so easily. So I put them on, and my first reaction was just to bolt. And there was a, like a column, and I ran right into it. And I just dropped, and I had a few dons with me. We all just had a good laugh. I was in a lot of pain, but yeah, lesson learned. You know, confidence is something that, you know. You need to be very careful with confidence and what exactly you're being confident about.
Oh, yeah. Well, those were some very great memories. Thank you for touching on those. Something that a lot of Lori students want to know, to kind of change the subject a bit here, is the struggles. So, obviously, you know, first year, well, I can't have a lot of those funny memories. So, like maybe you mentioned, there are some things that students might be struggling. So, from your experience, what were some of the struggles with for you, like in university? And you could speak on your U of T and your or experience if you want, and just kind of how you managed to either kind of get through those struggles or how, like, you're managing so far to get through some struggles.
Sure, sure. So I think you have to be very aware of your mental health. I think mental health is something that some of us, I'm an immigrant. And sometimes growing up, mental health wasn't something that was emphasized too much. Like, you know, it was fine. Like, I didn't, like, it wasn't, like, harmful to like, a dangerous extent. But I think being here has made me realize how important mental health can be. And definitely during my first year, there was so much weight of the changes of the work of trying to figure out where, you know, where I stood, who I was. It was really, really hard, I think, first year. It took quite a hard toll on my mental health. I had previous experience. I tried to reach out to someone, and unfortunately, it didn't go well. They were just not the right person to speak to for me. But I had someone tell me, hey, like, there are mental health resources on campus. Definitely reach out. And I booked it, and then I was about to cancel it. And they were like, look, just give it one chance, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, you know. And I'm so glad that I did. I sought help from this counselor at U of T, and they changed the way I saw so many things. They changed the way that I reacted to my failures, and there's also, everyone has things going on in their lives. Those are struggles too, and we really don't know how hard something will hit us until it does. So it could be anything like the end of a relationship that you're not expecting, or it could be a loss of a family member, and those things come out of nowhere. Sometimes those things come out of nowhere, and we can't allow those things to destroy us, and we need people for that. That's why I say, like, relationships and having a social life is so underrated, because people don't understand that you need people. You absolutely need people in your life to support you. And you need, you know, support systems. So I'm so forever grateful to this counselor. They worked with me for a good while to help me understand myself more than anything. I came out of that experience knowing myself so much better, and this massive weight just off my shoulders. So please take care of your mental health. I think that is extremely important. And if you have a bad experience with one counselor, please don't let that affect your decision to see another one, to just seek out the right person for you.
Wow, that was I think that was it was very touching on that story. So thank you very much for sharing that. And to those who might be dealing with some issues right now, if you want to just kind of outline some of the support systems we have here at Lori, because I know Lori has a lot of really great support systems, because some first years may not be aware, again, of some of the support systems here. So you mind kind of just touching on that?
Absolutely. Well, the first one I refer people to all the time is the Wellness Center. We have some wonderful counselors there who are willing to make an appointment with you. And just when you go, just don't feel pressured to kind of say anything specifically. Just tell them about your day. You'll notice that you start talking about your day and little things will, like, make their way into the conversation. And you'll know exactly what to say once you're there. So Wellness Center is a great one. Education Wellness is really good. They do a lot of things to kind of talk to you about, you know, your sleeping habits, your eating habits. Those are great, you know, resources. They'll tell you about ways to better study. We have our Writing Center. They can look over your work. We have math. We have a math support center at the Student Success Center. So those are all around, like, mental health, just because sometimes if you're struggling with math and you feel inadequate, that is a big thing. I think people sometimes feel inadequate about being unable to accomplish certain tasks, and there's no need for that. Everyone just needs a little support, so definitely Student Success Center is another big one. And of course, the academic support, academic success, which is, I forget the name of the building, Peters Building.
I believe the Peters Building?
The Peters Building, yeah. And,
don't quote me on that.
Yeah, no. We will, yeah. Anyway, just look it up, Academic Success Center. There's so many supports. It's hard to narrow it all down. Accessible Learning, also there to support you. And if you have, like, food situations, food concerns, just know that, like, every student gets 5 parcels from the food bank. Let's break that stigma. Everyone needs a little support. So if you feel like you need a little support with your foods and meals, the food bank is happy to offer you a very discreetly packaged item to help you with your meals, just like food, snacks, anything. Definitely reach out to them if you need a little support.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the support. And something else I want to touch on, for every single student, you'll hear me on this one. Final exams are coming up, and they are coming up fast. Like, we're talking less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we just kind of want to know any tips you have for particularly first years, because it's your first, like, final exam in your university career. Any kind of tips you have for that?
Oof, yeah, it is quite daunting when they're right around the corner. So, first of all, first thing I'm going to say is get sleep. Please sleep. Look, this is hard for everyone, even for myself. I've had a few days where I'm up at 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh my God. I'm telling my students to go to sleep early, but you know what happens? It happens, but do your best, please, because sleeping contributes so highly, actually, to your academic success, not to mention, of course, your health. But it's been shown that if you get a good amount of sleep, your academic achievements are much higher. So get a lot of sleep. Feed yourself, please. Feed yourself. Just take care of your basic body needs to begin with. Just make sure your body is feeling good. Get some exercise. If you can't go to the gym, that's totally fine. Go for a walk. Go into nature. Take a deep breath. Just, like, be aware of your body and its health. And then in terms of studying, don't study on your bed. First of all, let's get to that first. Do not study on your bed. That is not the place to study. Probably don't even study in your room. Sometimes studying in your room is not the best place to be. So find a library, find a study room, and find yourself some friends who are good for you, in the sense that you know that they will not be distracting you. They will not be, taking your attention away from the task at hand. Find yourself a group of people who are, you know, in that same task, and make a schedule with them. Like, work together for you all to, like, succeed. So I think those are my main tips. Take care of yourself and surround yourself with people who are also, you know, trying to achieve that goal of, like, studying and being prepared. Yep.
I think that's great. As someone who did study on the bed, I can say that is the best thing to do.
Don't do that.
Because what ends up happening is, like, okay, you're studying on the bed, but then, like, I could take a nap in the same spot that I'm
exactly.
So, like,
I dropped my laptop in my second year of university. I was studying on my bed, and I dozed off, and it just slipped right off, and it cracked, and, well, there you go.
Oh.
Don't fall asleep. Don't study on your bed.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me personally, like, I have my own, like, I study in my room. Sometimes I might want to branch out. You know, I think that's, it's okay if you want to branch out. If you study in your room, like, on your desk, that's totally okay. If that works for you, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, if that may not be working, then there's other ways you can do it.
Sure.
Now, here's a question I like to ask my guests, because I think it's very interesting, and it's more of a retrospective question.
Okay.
So, if you could talk to your first year uni self, and I'm talking, like, the UFT first year uni, what would you say to them now that you've been through 7 years of university?
That is a really good question. I'm not sure whether I should say this one. Okay, here is what I'm gonna say. I understand that you have goals to achieve and you have standards for what kind of work you like to present. But if you zoom out, if you look at your life as a whole, that one time that you know, that you didn't do as great as you wanted to do, that one time you failed a quiz, it is a millisecond in your lifetime. And holding on to that for the time that I did, because I honestly, you know, I was someone who was very attached to grades, and as a teacher, I'm learning that is not how we learn. That is not the way to learn. Is not to attach your value as a student to your grades. So it's okay. It's okay to fail sometimes. It's okay to not get the best grades every now and then. It's okay to be, you know, just content with the grades you have. And sometimes you have to, you know, if you say, hey, if I work 5 more hours without sleep, I'm going to get an A. But if I stop right now, I'm going to get a B+. Which one is going to, you know, harm your health more? Which one is... If those 5 more hours of sleep are going to help you do better in your health, then maybe get those 5 more hours of sleep. I'm not saying don't achieve high. Definitely do, but don't rely so much on your grades. Don't focus so much on your, you know, those tiny, tiny academic achievements that over time will be kind of meaningless. Yeah.
I think that's, wow, that's actually really good advice. We're actually about to wrap up the episode. So is there any kind of final things you want to say to the first years before we sign off?
Yes, just one final thing. I think one final advice I will give you is be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. You don't know what people are going through. I think I kind of touched on this before, but a smile can go a long way. A simple hello. Kindness is just lacking in the world of some people. So just be kind to everyone you can, and yeah, you'll be better for it, and they'll be better for it. So let's just make the world a kinder place.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank Sofia Silva Fonseca for coming in on this episode of First Year Jitters. Thank you very much for coming on. And here's the funny thing. This is actually going to be the last episode of the year. So I know we've only had 2 episodes, but with final exams, you know, coming up, this is actually where it's going to end for the first quote-unquote year for first-year jitters. But I promise you, in 2024, getting in January, we're going to be right back up with a lot more great episodes to come. So I guess until next time, and until next year. All right, take care.